When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Esposito, and I'm here to introduce you to my new series, Parrish. My character, Gray Parrish, was a getaway driver.
I'm retired from life, you know that.
He's in a world over his head.
Tell me about this driver job.
And he's asked to start to figure things out.
I did what you told me to.
He will try to do what's right and seek justice.
Parrish, all new Sundays at 9 on AMC and stream on AMC Plus.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Cool. I always forget what we're going to talk about on the tangent. Thank God you guys remember. I never write it down. Let's do it. Hit the thing.
It's the tangent with the Fred Show.
Giving you all the shit we couldn't talk about on air.
Wow. So I'm always so proud of us when we do two of our jobs in a row. Like, we actually are doing two tangents in a row. We probably should do one every day. I think people would listen to them.
Oh.
I know.
Ted, I can barely get you to do two.
Come again?
I know. Right, I know. Well. Look, I know. I know. And there's no excuse. I mean, this is our job. I get it. But at the same time, I think, believe it or not, a lot of days after 5 hours of talking, enough talky-talky, out of words, don't have much to say.
Oh, my God. I had the show and then therapy and then an hour and a half phone meeting yesterday. And I was like, I'm going to die.
Wow.
Like, there's no words left.
How did therapy go?
Therapy was good. Not too bad. It wasn't like too deep or anything. But I like my girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were going to talk about some of our early days in the business, in the radio business. Rufio and I have been at this. How long have you been doing it?
I've been doing it for 16 years, I think.
Damn, you're old.
Yeah.
I mean, if you count the time when I was 16 for a couple years hanging around and then, but I've gotten paid for 22 years I've gotten paid for radio. And then if you add the other time, then it's been in almost 26 years of this.
Nice.
Of this bullshit.
Sick.
Do you have any stories? Like, because the times were wilder in this business. I mean, like 16 years ago when you started, there was a live personality in the room all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of a different approach, like especially at night. Morning shows were about like this, but at night they usually would just put a bunch of people in a room and let them go crazy,
right?
And that those days are over. But that's kind of where you started, right? Hanging out with those guys.
Mm-hmm. I was the intern for the night guy at the time, and I was like the guy that they made him do everything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to give a lap dance to a listener one time. Shout out to her name was Scary Mary from Gary. That was her name.
Mary from Gary. Yeah.
They brought her to the studio. It was her birthday. She was like, hey, Rufio will give you a lap dance. I was like, I got to do it. And then I was like the man on the street guy, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Rufio's out here doing something stupid. And that was it. So,
yeah. Oh, did you ever see anything really questionable?
There was a lot of drinking at nighttime. I know that. You know what I'm saying? Like, in studio.
Yeah.
Not like drug-related wise. No, I didn't see any of that, but...
You ever seen anybody bang in the radio station?
Anyone bang in the radio station? No, but I've known the one of the people that I used to work with would bang, like, listeners, like, on the reg. You know what I'm saying?
At the radio station?
No, not at the reg.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Like, you would... Because, like, that's when I started going out, like... Like, we would, after the show ended at midnight, we would go out to the clubs, and then he would invite listeners to the thing, and then we'd all go back to his place, and then he's banging listeners there. I'm like, cool.
Oh, yeah.
What a job.
Banging listeners. Cool. Cool.
Yeah, that was my first full-time job in Austin, Texas. I was on from 6 to 10 p.m., Monday through Friday, and then I think I did afternoons on Saturday. And I think at one point, 6 nights out of 7, I had a club that I would go get paid to go to. So it was like I'd get up at 2 or 3 and then I'd eat something, and then I would go get, like, no joke, 3 Red Bulls at the gas station on South Congress, and then I would pull into the radio station, and I would do that, and then I'd go to the club, and I'd go to bed at, like, 3 in the morning, start all over again. And I think that job paid $24,000. I made another, like, $24,000 in the club, so I thought I was
balling.
Like, I thought I was, I'm like, I'm gonna go to the mall. I'm gonna go into Abercrombie and buy whatever I want. You know?
Yep.
But it was a different time. I'm really glad that no audio of that exists, because I would get canceled. We all would. Because, and again, the thing is, if you played some of it now, you would be like, oh, that was, and it wasn't like racist or anything.
No.
It was like, I don't know. It was like, that was sensational.
Yeah, you could say so much more.
Right. But out of context, like in today's context, it would be, it's a lot, like a lot of things. Seinfeld, right. And
The Office.
Yeah, a lot of shit. The comedy was just, and it doesn't mean the comedy was good or right, but it that was the standard and nobody cared. But yeah, we did a bit called The Whole Line at 9. And this is very creative. The only purpose of the thing was because you got to remember, like, when you're doing nights on a top 40 station, it's mostly teenagers. So we were catering to mostly high school kids.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh,
I mean, that's the objective.
That's the demo.
At night.
Yeah.
Like, at night, to be number one with teens, like, that's...
But ho and teens, like, that's
well,
just...
but again, no, but there's a much younger demographic at night. So
the
whole line at 9, and all you did was call in and nominate the biggest ho in your school.
Oh, Jason Brown.
Yeah, it's me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, it was like first name and city. So it was like, I don't know. It was benign.
Yeah.
It was dumb. And
Jason from Tinley. Biggest ho.
Biggest ho.
One day at like 11 a.m., my phone rings, and it was a guy named Dusty Black. Dusty Black was the market president, the regional vice president.
What are these people?
One of the nicest, kindest people I've ever met.
Say you were in Texas without saying you were in Texas.
Yeah. Dusty Black. I think that's his actual name, too. I don't know. Dustin or whatever. But anyway, the nicest guy, super successful in the business. He's retired now. His wife had, I mean, just a great guy. Anyway, everyone loved him. And he calls me, hey, Fred, hey, I didn't wake you up, did I? And I said, yeah, you did. It's okay. Well, Fred, look, do you do a segment on your show called The Whole Line at 9? And I'm like, yeah, Dusty, I do. He's like, well, there is a young lady down here with her attorney and her mother.
Oh, my God.
Who says that she was featured last night on your segment, and we're trying to figure out how we're going to make this right. But I was just figuring out if, in fact, you may have called this young lady a hoe on the air last night. I said, well... Dusty, it's first names, and I don't say anything. The callers say the thing. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? We're just going to straighten this out, and I want you to have a great rest of your day, and don't you worry one thing about this. I got you. Now, that was management in the olden days. Mm-hmm. Now I would have gotten called down here, screamed at, threatened to be fired, told I'm going to be fired, told I suck. So it turns out that a young lady, I'm not even going to say her name, but it was a relatively unique name in a relatively small town. And so somebody calls in and says, so-and-so is a hoe. She's got 2 kids from 2 different guys, and she hasn't even graduated high school yet. Interesting. These things happen. Right. These things happen. It doesn't mean she's a hoe by any means. But anyway.
The girl shows up with 2 babies. Like, it's me.
So,
Scary Gary from Mary. Mary from Gary.
So then Dusty calls me back a little while later and says, well, we straightened it out, you know, with some concert tickets and some other things. And don't even worry about it. I said, well, how does this happen, Dusty? Because it was just a first name in a city. He says, well, turns out she's the only woman in that city with that name, and her attorney was able to figure that out pretty quickly.
Wow.
So that unfortunately identifies her very specifically, but we worked it out. Don't worry about
it. What was the name?
Chloe was her name.
Oh. The only Chloe in a whole city?
I guess that's what her attorney said.
Wow.
I guess.
Did you guys play the Ludacris song? Like, ho, you
missed opportunity. We probably did. Yeah, I don't know. I really don't know. Anyway, it's a stupid segment, and I probably should have gotten fired for that. I probably should have gotten fired for everything that I did. I used to do a bit called I Was the Pimp of Pregnancy and the Master of Menstruation.
So
women would call and ask me questions that men shouldn't know the answer to, like about your bodies, and then I would get all the answers right. And the way that I would do it is you'd call, and women loved, the phones would blow up because men don't know shit about women.
No. Mm-hmm.
And so it would be like, I remember one night, and we had a douchebag, Mr. Burns was my boss at the time. Believe it or not, Mr.
Really?
Burns was my first boss, and then we inherited him when I'd already gotten to Chicago, and he didn't last very long. The way I would do it is I'd play this up song, and people would call in, and they'd say, Fred, you know what, how long is the menstrual cycle? And I'd be like, 28 days. I knew that one. But if I didn't, I'd go, I mean, I don't know. What is it? And then she'd say, 28 days. I'd go, 28 days. She'd go, that's right. I'd cut out the part where I asked the question to repeat. And then it sounded like I knew the answer. So the one that got me was somebody called in and said, hey, Fred, what? And of course, I'm doing this over like song intros.
Right.
You know, like I don't even know what, over Jason Mraz or something. Ooh. And it's like, hey, Fred, what color is the cervix? And I go, I don't know, what color is the cervix? And she goes, purple. I go, purple. She's like, purple, yeah, that's right. And I give them all prizes because I, you know, everybody won because I didn't know the answers to any of these questions. And I'll never forget, I aired that, and about 10 seconds later, a breathless Mr. Burns swings the door open. What the fuck are you doing? And I'm like, what do you mean? He's like, you can't say cervix on the radio? I'm like, of course
you
I can.
Can't?
No, you can't. Yes, you can.
It's a medical term.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's physiology.
Right.
It's, you can't talk about periods on the air? I'm like,
oh my God.
I can't? Well, anyway, so that was one of my more creative. And I think I stole that from somebody, too. I don't even think it's not even my bit.
People's grooming situation downstairs?
No. I didn't, so.
Oh. Don't put that on me.
Right. So let me clarify.
Somebody did.
So let me set this up. So I'm doing a morning show in Charlotte that's doing pretty well.
Okay.
And I'm doing a TV show.
I got the scene.
And so, like, I thought I was sort of, like, handling my business in Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, I was on morning radio and on TV at night. And in this town like that, I was kind of famous. And I had my faux hawk and my True Religion jeans.
Yeah,
and so,
did.
Like, I thought I was kind of tough shit. And it was going well. So they fired the guy that hired me. And they bring in another manager, like a top manager. And the top managers at radio stations are typically salespeople. They're not typically people that decide what should be on the radio, but they all think they should because they're the boss. So this guy comes in, he came from another city, and he comes up to me in the hallway, and he was like, hey, you know, he was a close talker too, I remember, very close talker with bad breath.
Oh.
He was like, hey, you know, I've been listening to your show, and I've got some suggestions on how you can make it better. I'm like, okay, sure, you're the boss. He's like, I used to work with a guy in this city, and it was on a rock station. Now, rock stations typically target 40-plus-year-old men. And top 40 stations, ours in particular, typically target 25-year-old women. In this case, it was a young end station. So 25-year-old women and 40-year-old men are not going to necessarily want the same content.
Right.
And it's a general rule. So because I want you to go listen to them. And listen to their morning show, and then come back tomorrow and tell me what you heard. We'll talk about it. So I go listen to this rock station. I mean, this dude's like Howard Stern wannabe. He was good, but he was obviously a totally different target audience. So I come back, and he was like, well, what'd you hear? I said, well, Charlie, I heard a bit called Shave, Trimmed, or Jungle. And he was like, oh, I love that one. Tell me how it goes again. I go, well, women would call in and just speak a few words. And then five or six men in the room would all guess, based on the sound of her voice, what her grooming habits were. If she was shaved, trimmed, or it was a little bit unruly down there. And he was like, oh, my God, that's so funny. What time are you going to do that one tomorrow morning? And I'm like, we're not going to do that one. So I never did it. It never happened.
Oh.
And then a couple days later, this all happened just like this. A couple days later, he went into Bruce's office, who I was just with on Boys Weekend, my actual boss, and said, I don't like this guy. He won't play by the rules. He won't do what I say. Fire him.
Whoa.
And Bruce is like, well, the guy's on TV and the radio. I really think that's a bad idea. So I don't think we should. I think we should table that. This is no joke. The next morning, I got offered Chicago. And they call me first, and then they call him, and then they call Bruce. And that dude couldn't get in the studio fast enough to tell me how proud he was of me, how he helped me get the job, how he spoke on my behalf to get the job, and how he'll run my syndication someday. But what he didn't know is I knew he tried to fire me the day before. This is why I hold a grudge, guys. This is why I hold a grudge. People like Charlie fuel me.
Yes.
People like Charlie make me get up in the morning and go, fuck you, I'm going to do better. Anyway, and I think some people would argue that's unhealthy, but I guess whatever works.
Yeah.
That's my boy. 2010.
Yep. Yep.
Brother Fred.
Look at you. Look at that handsome man.
Look at you.
That's the Fred I remember.
It's a little far out.
Yeah, there I am. And that I remember when I took that picture. It was for the Charlotte Observer. Mm-hmm. It was some kind of a Halloween, like, they put full face makeup, like they put like the prosthetics and the mask and the whole thing on you. And then people had to guess. For some who read the newspaper, had to guess who the local celebrity was for that. And I met a woman that day. She was like the intern or something who I took her on a first date to Asheville, North Carolina, to see a dude named Josh Hoag, who at the time, you've heard the song before. He writes country music now, but he...
I want to go to Asheville. Is it pretty?
It's beautiful. I want to say he opened for like Daughtry or something.
Yes. Oh, hell
and
yeah.
So that was what we went and saw. Boy. Yeah.
Yeah, ladies yeah. night.
So oh my God. Anyway, serious face.
I banged the intern and she had a bush. I remember that. Oh. But anyway, that's what that picture reminds me of.
You banged the intern and she had a bush.
It was groomed, but it's very rare to see that these days. You just don't see it anymore.
But in those days, I feel like it was more normal.
Oh, I feel like it was less normal then. Like when I was in my 20s, like when it was the 2000s, nobody had anything. That was like, it was really? Remove it all.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Never in my whole sexual life has it been normal to have hair down there. Mm. I don't know why, but it just is.
Mm.
And so when you see it, it's very uncommon and kind of hot.
You appreciate it.
I know. You like it.
Kind of hot. I don't know. Do you have any, you guys have all been at this for a minute, but what would you say is your most outrageous story from your time in the business? I mean, Jason, you've seen a lot of shit.
I know, but I don't have anything outrageous like that. I've never seen anyone banging. I wish.
That'd be fun.
I didn't.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when I started out, it was very much about the female interns being sexy. I've seen them have to fight in bikinis.
Oh, God.
I've been asked to eat a banana on camera. It was very much that was the vibe at that time.
Yeah.
I've known of people banging. I haven't physically seen it, but I've known of a ton of people banging
a
at
ton.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was a very different
We
industry.
Missed the good times. I don't
oh,
know.
Yeah. I saw a slap contest where women had to slap each other until one said I want out.
What?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
Oh yeah.
Ouch.
All kinds of terrible. Oh, one person had to eat their dad's ashes to go to a concert.
What?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
People get tattoos. They get tattoos.
It was a very,
logos.
Very legal. I don't think there was a legal.
Right. Where right. was legal?
Yeah.
Did not exist.
Just awful, awful contest.
How did they get away with that kind of stuff? I'm just curious.
I don't know, because we used to do a lot of crazy
later.
Shit. I will tell you, a couple of things were really pivotal, I remember, in my career. One was around this time, there was a radio station, I want to say it was in Sacramento, that did Hold Your Wii for a Wii. At the time the Nintendo Wii had come out, and the contest was how much water can you drink before you have to pee?
Mm.
And a woman, I didn't know this, but you can drink so much water that you can internally drown yourself.
Oh my God. Mm-hmm.
And so she did, and she died.
Oh my God.
And that, they fired everybody that worked on that show and everybody that managed that radio station, and it changed everything about that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Then it was no more shenanigans.
Oh. Yeah. I've seen a lot of that stuff for to win a car.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You have to keep your lips on a car for days and days and days. And it's people are getting exhausted. I mean, there's a ton of shit.
Yeah. And the other one that was big in my first job was the record labels used to be very generous with they never paid.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they never paid me to play music, but big dinners. I was a music director. So they'd come to town. We go to fancy. And I'm I'm 23 years old. I don't have any money. So these people would come to town, take me to the nicest restaurant in town or whatever. And, expensive wine and the whole deal. And then there was an investigation, a dude named Elliot Spitzer, who turned out to be kind of a creep.
Yeah.
But he came after the radio industry and basically proved that there was so much pay for play going on. And I remember that was a huge shift. Everything changed then. No more dinners, no more contests with record labels. It was a total overcorrection at the time.
We gotta take that fucking
code of conduct.
Yeah.
I had a manager ask if I would be a third and have a threesome.
Wow.
With she and her husband.
Wow.
Yeah. So my higher
You're not
up.
Supposed to do that.
You're not. Turns out you're not supposed to do that. I kindly passed
turns out.
On that one. That was a good time.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. You know.
I'm trying to think if I ever.
Wait for my memoir.
Oh, I remember I was sleeping with a salesperson at my first job. We were dating. I mean, it was legitimate dating. And and so one day I get a call from the boss, not Dusty, but his boy, who was a middle-aged man, programmed a country station, nice enough guy. And so he calls me and says, "Hey, I need to see you in my office before you go on the air today," which is usually you're getting fired.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at the time, the radio station was in a big, it was in an old aircraft storage hangar that had been converted into an office complex. I guess in I don't know, in World War One or Two or something, this area was used to store munition and airplanes. And then they left the buildings, and then over time they turned them into someone came in and developed them and turned them into a office building. So like it was huge, this huge like hangar space, and it was all like, you know, open concept before that was a thing, and all the managers' offices were these big glass boxes right down the middle of this hangar. Mm-hmm. So like if you got called to the carpet, everybody knew it because mm-hmm. it was a glass box. So I show up and I walk in and I close the door, and it just so happens like the sales team for Kiss FM, including this woman, are right outside of this glass office, and everyone's like, oh, this guy's done. So I sit down and he says, hey, look, Fred, it's been brought to my attention that you're sleeping with this salesperson and we need to talk about that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. And I'm like, I'm not sure if I admit it. Like, right. Do I say yes or no? I'm like, I don't know. And I don't know what to, I don't know what to say. And he was like, is she waxed down there, or is it trimmed, or is it
shut the fuck up?
Like, what's that? What is it like to fuck that? And I was like, I just sat there and looked at him, and I didn't know if I was supposed to answer the question. I'm like, he's like, I just wanted to know what it was like to hit it. Like, is it because she's so hot? Like, is it great? I'm like, yeah, it's pretty great, dude. And yeah, he's like, okay, good. Have a great day. That's all I wanted to know. Have a good day.
Holy
yeah.
shit!
What?
Yeah, that's a real. That's a real story.
Good times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-mm. That's a new story, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a wild one. I thought that was the end.
You don't have any audio from your days?
I've looked. There was a bunch of stuff on cassette tape, and mm-hmm. I think I got rid of it. And I don't even know how I'd play it if I had it. But back in the day, you could put a tape in a tape deck, even though no one used tapes. And then every time you'd turn the microphone on, it would record whatever was on the yep. air. And then it was called an air check machine. Mm-hmm. And so then you'd take the tape into your boss's office, and then they'd play the yeah. tape, and they'd go back and listen to everything you did and tell you what. And then it was not long after that they made it so that you can do it on a computer. But at the time, it was a tape. Yeah, and those tapes are
good. Mine was CDs. We had the same thing, but it would burn a CD.
Oh,
every time you turn the mic on here. Yeah. Turn the mic on. I could probably find something somewhere. But
I can remember sometimes, like, I'd have to go in every week with the tape, and we'd listen to it, and I can remember thinking, like, that was a shitty break I just had or whatever. So I'd rewind the tape and then just record over that, you know, so that one just went away.
Yep.
But you can't do that anymore because now it's all recorded. But I think I'm glad a lot of that stuff's gone. I don't think it would sound very good now.
I'd love to hear it, though.
I wasn't very good at it either. But it was a different time. Like, I was trying to yeah. sound like everybody else who was good at doing it.
When do you think you found, like, your lane or, like, your voice? Like, you weren't trying to sound like somebody else that you looked up to.
Like, 5 or 6 years ago.
Yeah, Barbara Walters.
Like, I know.
Not all that long ago. Not all that long ago. It was like we started doing well, and then, I don't know, maybe I was trying less hard. And then the less hard I tried, I guess somehow I felt like the better I was at this. I don't know. What about you guys? When did you, like, have you guys, do you, are you at a point where you feel like, because they say if you do something for 10,000 hours that you become an expert at it. Mm. And I think most of us have probably done this for 10,000 hours at this point. Do you think, like, would you say you're where you want to be? Like, from a skill standpoint?
Oh,
I don't know. I
don't think so.
No,
not me.
Not where I want to be.
I definitely have a lot more to learn.
Yeah.
And grow.
Like, it wasn't until I got in here with you and did, like, live radio. Before, I told you I was very much, like, clean. Like, it was, like, very, like, yes. perfect. Like, no breaths, no accidents. Just, you know, that's how my show was, like, a robot. Now I'm very much more relaxed on the radio. Like, I just say whatever.
Yeah.
A little too relaxed.
I thought I had to be, like, cookie cutter, like, perfect, because, like, at the last show I worked on, like, when I filled in for the woman who does entertainment, like, she's, like, that's how she is. And I thought that, like, I had to emulate that. And then I saw, like, other women in the industry and other people really, like, be themselves and, like, show their personality more. And so I think that was, like, a big change for me. I thought I had to be, like, E! News, you know, like, oh, hey.
Right.
You know, yeah. I couldn't make a dick joke because I'm a woman or, you know.
Totally.
I had to present that my life is perfect.
Mm.
What about you guys?
I'd say, like, this job taught me so much. And I think you're such a great teacher at that, whether you know it or not. Kind of, like, coming into this, I thought everything was going to be so prepped to the point where we're, like, reading scripts. Because everybody they ask that.
No, like, a lot of people think that, yeah.
Yeah, they're like, oh, are you guys reading something? It's like, no. And I felt like that's what I thought we were supposed to do. And, like, when I came into this job here, I wanted to be just, like, somebody that I knew in L.A. at another show. And I was like, oh, I have to be like her. Like, that's how it's done.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel like that was cut real quick because, A, I'm not her, and that's okay. We're two different people.
Right.
And I felt like people who are listeners and are amazing, you know, everyone here, like, gravitated towards the real me. So I'm like, well, I want to be myself, you know, and I feel like Fred was really good at kind of, like, teaching that without teaching that, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of put that into play for me, into motion, without making me feel, like, bad or anything. I didn't. Mm-hmm. You just, like, be yourself, and that's exactly what I was.
Also, with mistakes, like, you taught me a lot. Like, I like, love that you, like, call out mistakes and say we made a mistake, because it's... I thought, like, you had to act like it, you know, like they teach you, like, it didn't happen, and glaze over it, and, you know, then you act more nervous and shit, and I just feel like I like that we do that, because why would we need to lie to our listeners? Like, I don't understand that.
Yeah, I still don't know if that's the right thing. I'm sure there's a lot of people that would argue, just pretend it never happened, but it's like, I don't know.
I think it
did happen, and it's also like...
It's okay. Like, you're human.
Right.
I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, are you at the top of your game?
Am I at the top of my game? I don't know, obviously, when I started this radio journey, I didn't think, like, mornings is obviously where you want to end up, you know what I'm saying? I didn't think I would be a part of, like, a big team like this, but... I think I've learned that it's easier to share, you know, like a lot of things you don't want to talk about, but then we talk about everything. So it's, I don't know.
You were really closed off even when I started working
right.
here.
Like I really didn't share a lot, but now, you know, you guys know everything right. about me.
You said butthole yesterday.
Right.
Rufio, I know a lot about
you. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I never thought it'd be that person. Like, you know, you think, you know, you have your radio side, then you have your private side. But, like, with us, I mean, every listener knows everything about us, which is cool. So,
Yeah. I used to plan everything out to the minute. Even when I started this show here, it was like I had a whole run sheet. I'd type it out every day. It was like, this is what we're doing at this time. This is what we're doing at that time. And if I didn't stick to it, I thought I was doing a bad job. Mm-hmm. Like, I had to be disciplined, and I had to follow all the rules. And it was... And sometimes now I feel like I'm a little lazy because I don't do anything like that anymore. Like, we come in, we decide what we're going to talk about almost as we're talking about it, and then we just do it. And there is no script, and there is no, you know, and a lot of shows will be like, okay, so we're going to talk about this, and you're going to say this, and you're going to say that, mm-hmm. and you're going to say, and you can hear it. You can hear that it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I guess I'd rather just do it and see what happens. And the other thing is, when I was so, like, regimented, I would miss stuff. Like, now we might be talking about something, and a caller might say something that's way more interesting than the right. bullshit we came up with. So let's go to that. Let's see what that's about. And then it shifts. But before, I was like, no, I gotta, you know, this we're committed to this topic, and we're doing this. Like, who fucking cares?
For sure.
I don't know. I'm trying to think if I have any other funny stories for you guys. I'm sure. But I've told most of them.
How did the sales relationship end?
I'm gonna tell you something. By that time in my life, I wouldn't have known the right girl if she were, like, spitting in my face. Like, I was just, I was late to the game. I was 21 when I started having sex, and then all of a sudden it went from, like, no sex to all of a sudden everybody, I could have
all
whatever I want. And so I was having all the sex. I mean, I was dating all the girls, and it was like, so no, it didn't work out, and I think she married somebody else, and so I don't know. I wish her well. I wish all of them well. I don't know. But by the way, if I had gotten married and had kids with one of those people, I don't know if I'd be sitting here, because my priority was to be mobile and be nimble.
Yep.
And, like, when they call from, you know, when they inevitably call me from New York, and they're gonna, you know, and when LA calls me, I got to be able to move, and I can't, you know, nobody can hold me back.
No.
And,
yep.
And so.
Amen to that.
That's another thing that's, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just wondering, like, if it was bad at work after you guys broke up.
No.
Like, oh,
all right. No. I think we were all young and, just, I don't know, everybody
fucking
was,
each other. Horny.
Basically.
Young and horny.
I mean, honestly, kind of. Yeah. What was I going to say? Oh, it's another funny thing looking back is, like, and I don't know if you guys have experienced this, but I thought I was a lot better than I was looking back. And there were jobs that opened up that I would apply for that I wouldn't get or even get looked at for. And I used to be so devastated that I wasn't getting the look I wanted. And, you know, some of the jobs I was getting weren't necessarily the prime jobs.
Right.
And then I wind up with almost the primest job in the business. And it's like, if I had taken any of those other jobs that I thought I wanted so badly, a lot of those jobs don't even exist anymore. People got fired. They eliminated them. They weren't great jobs. They were just great stations or big markets. And it's just, it's funny how people will tell you along the way, like, if you work hard and you're passionate and you do a good job and you win and you're a good teammate, like, the right things will wind up happening. And I didn't ever believed it, you know,
right.
But then it's exactly what happened.
Same.
Mm-hmm. You kind of have to trust the process. And, you know, it may not happen for everybody. I got really fortunate, but, I mean, I thought I was going to New York. I thought I was going to Dallas. I thought I was going to, back to Phoenix. I thought I was going, and all these jobs, I'm like, oh man, how the hell can I not get this job? And they don't want to hire me. I thought I was going to B96 at one point. I was begging the guy that ran B96 when they fired Eddie and Jomo. I was begging for that job. I call that guy every day. And he finally told someone, tell him to stop calling me. He sucks on the radio.
Oh,
he
damn.
Did say that. He actually wrote that in an email. And I was devastated when they hired another show. And then we put them out of business. I mean,
hello.
We made them change the music they play. The whole station did. We didn't. I'm just saying, it's crazy how... And I know there are people who probably say, like, well, I do all those things and it hasn't worked for me. And I don't know, maybe your definition of what's working for you is not
right.
what you think it should be and what it is. I don't know. That's a different question. But I don't know, Kalen. I mean, you claim this is exactly what you wanted to do. And a lot of things had to move for that to happen, right? Right? Like people that I never thought would leave the show had to leave in order for you to. I mean, there's just a lot of shifting that had to happen for that to happen, but you stuck with it and then it did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it feels trippy to say that, but I did have a therapist like say exactly what I wanted out loud to her. And I was like, you don't understand how the industry works. Like, it doesn't go like this. This doesn't happen. Mm-hmm. But she still made me do it. And it didn't happen, obviously, as quickly as I would have ever wanted it to. But I don't know what the fuck kind of rush I was in because, you know, you do have to enjoy the journey. And then, I mean, manifestation, I guess, is very powerful. Saying things out loud. But I'm so glad I didn't end up with the news anchor position in the Upper Peninsula.
Oh, yeah,
like
the UP,
I thought
baby.
I wanted. Fucking fighting bears in Iron Mountain in 7 inches of snow every day. And I'm glad I didn't end up on E! News where I had to be a robot. You know, like,
yeah.
I like that we can be ourselves. Like, I think that that's a gift in itself.
I'll make the story short because we have to go. But a year before Chicago, because I was doing radio and television in Charlotte, and a year before Chicago, I hired a TV agent, and a station in Tampa called and offered me four times as much money as I was making to move to Tampa and be the morning anchor on the CBS station, which, if you know anything about TV, CBS in the mornings, I don't know anymore, but at the time, they couldn't get anything going nationally. Mm-hmm. Like, the Today Show and GMA kicked the shit out of them, and I think they still do. But so if you were the lead into that, you really had nobody. Nobody was watching. And so their idea was, we're gonna have a traditional news anchor, and we're gonna bring this guy in with his faux hawk. He can wear a t-shirt, we don't care, and we're gonna do this like completely non-traditional news show, which was unheard of, especially for a CBS affiliate. And so I went down there, I interviewed, and the news anchor's like, you got the job, and you got to meet the market president. And we go in there, this is an old guy, he'd run that television station for 40 years, and he said, I want you to come do this. It's a big risk, and it's a lot of money for us, but like, I think it's gonna work. And I said, this is so untraditional that if anything happens to you, I'm out and I'm fucked because I just left something that I have another trajectory on. And he's like, dude, I've been here for 40 years. I didn't take the job. A week later, they fired him.
Wow.
Yeah. I think he was just fine. But my thing was, if I had taken that job, they either would have tried to get me to do it, something I didn't know how to do, or they would have fired me. Yeah. And I would have given, and I'm sure it would have worked out one way or another, but it's just amazing how, like, I just didn't have a good feeling about it. It was a lot of money, and I thought it was like, that was the gig before the gig. I didn't take it.
Yeah, it's that quote, like, I'm so glad I didn't end up with the things that I thought I once wanted, you know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have to remind myself every day, like, just enjoy the ride, like, just vibe out.
Yes.
Stop trying to move shit forward.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, look at that.
Mm-hmm. Rock out with your cock out.
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening to The Tangent. Tell all mm-hmm. your friends about the show. And go listen to the other stuff, too. If you're a big fan of the Tange, then if you would, just, like, I don't know, turn on the other five-hour show and just leave it on all day.
Yes.
Just so we can get the credit. Thanks. Have a good day. And what was it? Vibe out with your cock? What
Rock out with your cock out.
Well, I know that, but...
clam out with your jam out's another one.
Or jam out with your clam out.
Wait a minute. Yeah, do that too.
Enjoy the ride, vibe out.
Yeah, do all that stuff.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
You've probably heard a lot about electrified vehicles lately. Well, Toyota has electrified options for every lifestyle. We've got hybrids, no plug needed.
All right, let's go.
But we also have plug-in hybrids, if that's your thing. You can even go 100% electric in the Toyota BZ4X. With so many options for reducing carbon emissions, Toyota is electrified, diversified. Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.